sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
6444, why do the players a favor and take them out when they are getting beat down? Let them play and remember the butt whipping. They could get hurt anytime. It's only week three. Thank you, D'Amico, for sending that text. Why? Because you're trying to win football games in the future. Why put your players at risk of injury when there's zero chance to win a game? When it could severely impact your chances of winning the game down the road. Go ahead.
That's the most ridiculous thing I could ever hear. Like, if you're getting your doors blown off, and you know that you're 3 weeks into the season, why the hell are you going to put in literally a meaningless point of a game that's already been decided? Why the hell are you going to put your key players out there and continue to push them out there?
Yeah, I've been on the crusade saying that D'Amico needs to catch some blame for playing his starters down 34-7 with minutes left to play in the game. Tank Dell ran into a camera, by the way. I went back and watched the game just to try to isolate when Tank Dell got hurt. Tank Dell ran into a camera on the sideline, clipped him on the side, which is where the injury
is. That's how the injury happened?
Well, he didn't show any signs of it on that play, stayed in the game. Then he caught a post over the middle and took a hard fall to the turf. Didn't show any like pain there. And then he ran a little twist route in the neck like two plays later and then was grabbing, like didn't even have the ball thrown at him, and then started to grab at his ribs, and that's when he left the game. So I don't know when it happened, because when he hit the camera, didn't show any pain. When he caught the post, hit the turf hard, didn't show any pain. But then he was running a routine route, the ball didn't even go to him. He started to grab at his side and then left the game, and that's whenever he went to the training staff. So I don't know exactly. It could have been the camera. It could have been the fall. It could have been just twisting his body and contorting it in a weird way. It's hard to know for sure. But
those were all at a time when the game was out of reach.
That was the final series.
Yeah, that we know exactly when it happened, in garbage time, when he shouldn't have been on the field.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely the final series. Ran into a camera on the final series, caught the deep post to get it within the 5-yard line in the final series, and then his final play of the game, he actually ran that route into the end zone, ball wasn't thrown to him, and then left the game. So D'Amico Ryans was asked by Landry Locker yesterday about, do you regret it a little bit? Are you concerned how the injury happened because of the situation of the game?
No concern for me. Injuries can happen at any given time. What if the injury happened first play of the game? Should he be out there? We can't control when injuries happen. Guys are going to go play. That's part of our game, part of the nature of the business. When you play this game, unfortunately, injuries happen. Nobody can predict when injuries happen or when a guy should be in, shouldn't be in.
You can pretty much mitigate risk of injury by not having him on the football field. Is there a better chance to get hurt when you're running plays, getting hit by men that play in the NFL, or standing on the sideline next to your head coach, or better yet, sitting on the bench waiting for the game to hit zeros and then jumping on a flight? What do you mean you can't control this? Yes, you can.
I mean, the biggest thing about this is, do you want those players to risk getting hurt in a one-score game or a tight ball game, you know, against a meaningful opponent or at a meaningful point in the season? Or do you want them to risk getting hurt when you're down by double digits with very little time on the clock, when there's really nothing to play for? And in a lot of times in those circumstances, guys, they lighten up a little bit. They relax a little bit instead of playing with that kind of ferocity that football's played at, and that's where they give themselves a better chance to get hurt.
The Vikings players, the starters, they were not on the field. John Gernard, not on the field. Most of the ones for the Vikings were celebrating their victory on the sideline. Meanwhile, D'Amico Ryans is using all of his starters, all of them, with the exception of C.J. Stroud, and got a critical receiver on this team hurt, and it looks like he's going to miss Sunday's game.
Here's the easiest thing to say, Jeremy. Why wasn't C.J. on the field?
He was kind of, I guess, tripped up or whatever. Like, he was limping off the field, like, in the previous series.
Well, okay, so maybe they don't want him to get hurt even more.
Yep.
And at the same time, the first move that most teams make when the game's over one way or the other is, and we see it all the time, get the quarterback off the field. Get our best player off the field, because we don't need him getting hurt in a game that's over. We need him next week. If you're going to do that with C.J. Stroud, there's plenty of other guys, and there's a handful of guys you can rattle off real quick that should also be off the football field. Tank probably being one of them.
Yeah, in the whole, like, well, you know, it's revisionist history. No, I was tweeting this live in the moment. There's no reason for the starters to be in a game down by 27 with minutes left to play in week three. If this was the Super Bowl, okay, whatever. If you're a developmental team that is really doesn't have playoff aspirations, okay, whatever. Get them reps, get them plays, let them learn, all of that. If this was the David Culley, Lovie Smith Texans, I wouldn't care as much. I'd probably still blast it, but I wouldn't care as much.
I know analytics have.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that he does. But when this team's supposed to win the division, you're aspiring to make a deep postseason run, you don't leave your starters in the game down by 27 with minutes left to play. And you might say, well, Tank's not as important anymore because Stephon Diggs is here and you have Nico Collins. Okay, well, Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs were also on the field. And Nico Collins showed up on the injury report today with a hamstring. Now, I don't think it's related because he wasn't on the injury report yesterday. I sure hope it was not related. And then going back to D'Amico's quote, too, by the way, he says injuries can happen at any given time. Okay, well, there's a better chance of getting injured if you're running football plays against football players than sitting on the sideline. And then he gaslights us. I don't even know if it's a gaslight. He's either gaslighting or he's gatekeeping or he's being disingenuous, whatever you want to use. He says, what if the injury happened the first play of the game? How is that in the same conversation? How is the first play of the game when it's 0-0 the same thing as when it's 34-7 with minutes left in the game? That is not the same thing. I think that's gaslighting.
I feel like I'm taking crazy.
Yeah, I am. Isn't that what gaslighting means? Is that not gaslighting? I don't know if that's gaslighting, but the first play of the game when it's 0-0 is not the same as 34-7 with minutes left to play. I like D'Amico Ryans. I love D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans is a role model of mine. But what if the injury happened the first play of the game? D'Amico, that's not the same thing.
It's not close.
Yeah, that's a symptom of a losing argument. When you start playing the whataboutism card, you know you've lost the argument. I mean, as you guys pointed out, like the whole idea, it sucks because as Jeremy just said, I love D'Amico. I wanted D'Amico to be this head coach. I was a huge fan of his as a player. But now he's basically repeating the same garbage that we used to hear from Bill O'Brien when he would leave players into the same situations. Well, you know, he could get hurt early in the game. Well, he can't get hurt if he's on the sideline when the game is over. Same thing that we saw from Arian Foster in 2014. And as Joel, as you pointed out correctly, if C.J. Stroud's out of the game, why is he out of the game? He's out of the game because the game is over and there's injury risk. Why don't you care about the game being over and the injury risk for the other 10 starters on the field?
It makes zero sense. Like, you can't make the correlation that anybody's going to buy into that. There's no way that you can look at it the same way and say that it's apples to apples. And we see it across the league all the time. And as a fan, you know they're throwing in the towel when they don't want their quarterback hurt and they go to their second string quarterback. You know that when a game's decided one way or another, the last thing they want to do is take a running back that's going to take a beating between the tackles no matter what point in the game it's at and throw them out there and keep getting them reps. It's just not – it's maybe in college they do it to send a message to kids because of the fact that maybe their effort is being questioned or things like that. There's no way you do it with your best players.
I'm not even sure – college teams that have national championship aspirations do that. Like, if you don't have national championship aspirations, you're realistic with where your team's at, maybe they're a middle of a Power 5 conference, then you leave them out there because, like, what are you really, like, what are your season goals? Like, it's about getting better and improving. You really don't think you're going to win a conference title. You're realistic with your expectations. Okay, then leave the guys out there. You're not really losing much. There's not a whole lot to risk away. Like, who's the worst team in the NFL in your opinion? Let's just say the Titans. The Titans are the worst team in the AFC South. Could be Jacksonville, the worst team in the AFC South. But let's go with the Titans because they have a young quarterback who's making tons of mistakes. If Will Levis is in a game when it's 34-7 on an 0-3 team that's going nowhere fast, who cares? Who cares? Give him reps. That's good for his growth. Whenever you're down 34-7 and you're the favorite to win the AFC South, you were in the divisional round last year, you have aspirations to go further, you have a roster that's good, you have a general manager that's going for it, the acquisitions of Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs, but in week three, down by 27, with minutes left to play, you're going to run your starters out there and just say it's the nature of the business? What if it was Nico Collins? What if Nico Collins tore his ACL in the final few moments? What if it's Laremy Tunsil in pass protection? And look, you could argue that, well, Tank Dell's significance isn't as great as these other guys. Would you rather have Tank Dell or would you rather not have Tank Dell? What you're gaining in week three with minutes left to play, is that greater than the possibility of losing one of your starters? King of Twitch says Tank Dell is going to be injury prone. You might be right. That's more reason to take him out of a blowout game with minutes left to play.
Yeah, no, look, when you start talking about the fact that do you want guys that are impact players on the field, or do you want Hutchinson on the field instead of a Tank Dell, especially when it matters? With games coming up after the Jacksonville game, and you look at the Buffalo game when the schedule really gets tough, and the last thing that you want to do is be able to, and this has happened time and time again in sports, and the coaches are always called on the carpet for it. Why are your best players being played? Because significant injuries have happened. They do happen. And when it's more than just, you know, bruised ribs, when it becomes something more significant, and maybe the player misses an extended period of time, they're going to get questioned even more, and rightfully so, because in professional sports especially, but even like you said, with everything the way it is in college these days too, you're not going to do that and run the risk of, because your butt's on the line too as a coach, as an organization. When you need these guys the most, are you going to look back to a game and go, yeah, they played when they were down 20-some points, and maybe they shouldn't?
Yeah, I mean, to quote Herm Edwards, we play to win the game. And at the point that game was with the Vikings, you could not win that game, but you could risk your ability to win future games by getting key players hurt. I mean, even if you want to play, not that we are, but even if you want to play the idea of, well, reps, let's get him more reps, what is Nico Collins, what is Stephon Diggs, what is Laremy Tunsil going to learn by playing a series or two more in that point of the game? They're veterans.
It was only a series.
Right. Even a series. And beyond that, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, even if there was something from them to learn from the reps, they're not playing with the starter. So it's not even really reps with the guy that it matters. So it just makes zero sense from D'Amico.
King of Twitch, some of these players have incentives to play. No rookie on their contracts have incentives. King of Twitch, you don't play the game scared to get hurt. Y'all are ridiculous. Coaches for generations have pulled their starters in blowout games. The Vikings pulled their starters in the blowout game. A battery chug, guarantee you there's not a single NFL team that pulls their offensive line when the game is out of reach. That's not true. 713-780-3776, 0891. I'd be okay with losing Tunsil. He cost us when he's on the field anyways. Ha, that's a good one. 2971, don't get too mad. Not good for your blood pressure. Thank you for being concerned about the killer of bees. Tunsil could learn not to get penalties. That's not going to happen in that moment. That's something that's going to have to happen in the practice. Can learn where the line of scrimmage is. Again, that's going to be after something that's post-game. A couple of other texts. First time I've heard D'Amico compared to Bill O'Brien. Gross. How's it not the same, though? I mean, you keep an Arian Fox. Late mistake. In a blowout game, keeping all of the starters sans C.J. Stroud in a blowout game. 8257, it's called expectation. He probably wasn't happy with their effort. Wasn't about winning the game, but more about being a paid professional. Okay, what would you rather have? A professional that's being held to be a paid professional, or having your players as the season progresses that gives you a better chance to win? What is the objective of the year? To win as many games as you possibly can. If you're trying to prove, and I don't think D'Amico was doing this, if you're trying to prove a point in a blowout game and it cost you a significant player, you have failed the team. You have hurt the chances of racking up as many wins as you can because of a boneheaded decision. Keith, not a dig at you, because I agree with y'all, but that's why they are coaching and playing in the NFL. They think and are different than us. I don't disagree with that. But the way they think, I think, is ignorant.
There's not a 21-point play, guys. There's not a play that's going to bring you back into that game.
Still wouldn't get you the win.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So there's no, like, strange change of the rules or scoring system to where you had any chance to win that ball game. And if you do, Herm Edwards, play to win that game, you're not going to win that game. So play to win the next one. And the best chance to do that is have your best players available and healthy. And we've seen it enough to know that just when you think it's not going to happen, it does. And when it does, it can put a massive monkey wrench in your plans for the rest of the season. That's why when the quarterback comes out, basically people say they're waving the white flag. It's over. At that point, when it's over, let the second string fight it out.
Don't love the quote. What if the injury happened the first play of the game? How is he comparing the first play of the game to 34-7 with minutes left?
That might be the worst part of the whole quote.
That's like...
It doesn't make any difference to the question. No one was saying you should take your players out at the beginning of the game. That has nothing to do with the question.
What if the injury happened the first play of the game? That is not the same, D'Amico. I'm a little concerned.
Yeah,
I'm a little
first
concerned.
Play of the game is on the line. Down 27, the final possession, the game is not on the line. There's a very clear line there.
What if the injury happened first play of the game? Like, that's the first time that I felt like D'Amico Ryan's just lying right to our faces. It makes me feel sick. All right, Adam Ronis is going to help you win some fantasy football this week. Fantasy Life on SiriusXM has been killing it with his dub club. Adam Ronis to help you when we come back. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Now back to the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line. Being joined again this week by Adam Ronis, Fantasy Life on SiriusXM Fantasy. I've been keeping up with the dub club. He's been killing it with his dub club. We'll get into that a little bit later. Adam, I'm curious what you think of the landscape of the Houston Texan wide receiver room. D'Amico Ryan's foolishly kept Tank Dell in the game late, got him hurt, probably not going to play on Sunday. What do you think this means for the Texans receiver room?
Love Nico Collins this week. Now, I know he did pop up on the injury report with a hamstring issue today, so we'll have to see the extent of that. But he's been crushing it. Jacksonville is decimated in the secondary. They've been getting carved up. They play a lot of man-to-man, which Nico Collins thrives in, and his prop is in the mid-70s this week. He's gone over that easily. I know last week it came late in garbage time as they tried to get him that touchdown late in the end zone when C.J. Stroud came out, but this looks like a great spot for Nico Collins. And, you know, you take Tank Dell out, it's great for Collins, Diggs, and even Dalton Schultz.
Adam, we're looking at the injuries from week to week. What significant injuries are you keeping an eye on, and what should people be aware of there?
Oh, how much time do we have? It's a long, long list. Bijan Robinson popped up on the injury report today. You don't like to see that. But the Eagles, we know it's A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith likely not going to play. And I don't see anyone that benefits in the wide receiver core. I think it'll be a heavy run game with Saquon Barkley. Of course, Dallas Goedert, one of the best plays at tight end this week. We're trying to see if Jordan Love will return this week. My guess is yes. Deebo Samuel was on the practice field today, so that would not be good if you picked up Juwan Jennings this week. But, yeah, there's just so many injuries right now. Deontay Johnson, who we feel so much better about after Andy Dalton stepped in last week and made that look like an NFL offense. I mean, Deontay Johnson's prop was in the 40s last week. It's gone up 20-plus yards, which you usually don't see. He was on the injury report today with a groin issue, so there's a lot to keep an eye on. And I'll just say this. So people are always panicking about setting their lineup on a Thursday. You need to relax. We still have a couple of days. Obviously, Friday is the key day for injury reports. If a guy doesn't practice on Friday, it's not good. So just worry about the players you have in tonight's game, the Cowboys and Giants. Put the guys you want in your lineup in the receiver or running back position. Never put a Thursday night player in your flex because you lose flexibility. Worry about that, and you have a couple of days. You have all the way until Sunday morning to figure these things out. Also, Trey McBride with a concussion. That is a big one since the tight end position. So like I said, we can keep talking about injuries the whole time, but I know you guys are limited on time.
Adam, so we've seen the Dolphins wide receivers production plummet since Tua obviously had his concussion a few weeks ago. Tyreek Hill, 3 catches in back-to-back games. Not great for Jaylen Waddle either. I mean, it feels dirty to say, well, we bench Jaylen Waddle, we bench Tyreek Hill until Tua comes back. But how are you handling these Dolphins wide receivers until Tua gets back?
Yeah, Jaylen Waddle has got to go to the bench, and I have him on one team, and I gave him a chance last week. It did not work out. I am putting him on the bench. His production takes even more of a hit without Tua. Now, with Tyreek Hill, he's tricky because you drafted him early in the first round. You don't want to bench a player you took that early. What you have to do is just understand the expectations are way lowered. I think it's about 11 points he's averaging without Tua. So in a lot of situations, if you're in a competitive 12-team league, you're likely starting him. There could be a scenario where you have Rashee Rice, Malik Nabers, and Chris Godwin, and Tyreek Hill. In that scenario, and you need 3 of those 4, that's where I'm benching Tyreek Hill. I don't know how many people are in that situation, but yeah, Tyreek Hill's not a must-start. You know, Deontay Johnson, if he's healthy, I'm playing over him. So he's more of a, in the wide receiver 2 category, where it's clear the production is not there without Tua.
Speaking of that Panther receiver room, you bring up Johnson. Adam Thielen lands on the IR. Is Xavier Legette worth the look?
Absolutely, in a deeper format. I think if you're like a 12-team league with 18 roster spots or more, for sure, because this offense is just clicking right now. It's one game, but still, it was impressive. They went on the road in Vegas and just stomped them. And look at the matchup they get this week, the Cincinnati Bengals. Everyone saw it on Monday night. That defense is horrendous right now. They're a team we want to pick on. So this is another good matchup for the Panthers offense, and we'll get an opportunity. So not a must-start, but if you are hurting at receiver and he is available or you already picked him up, he's certainly under consideration.
All right, Adam, I got to ask. The Red Rocket rifle had a hell of a week. Is Andy Dalton a guy you should be grabbing real quick to try and make up for some of your woes at quarterback?
I don't think so. In most leagues where you start one quarterback, you likely have a better option. We might get Jordan Love back. Sam Darnold, I would still start over him. We saw Caleb Williams a little bit better last week. You do have to take into account the Bears ran 40 more plays than the Colts last week. So when you look at all those stats, you know, that's something I always look at, plays run. If you just look at the box score and see the stats, that can make your expectations be misconstrued for the following week. But the Colts just were not on the field at all. So I don't think he's a must pick up. Obviously, if you're in a league, super flex league, or one that starts two quarterbacks, he's probably picked up already. But I'm not ready to put him in that top 12 conversation yet.
Adam, difficult question. Question for a friend, let's say. Patrick Mahomes has just not been good this year, and it really wasn't good the second half of last year for fantasy either. Right now we're looking at quarterback finishes on the week 10 or lower each week this season. Are you at the point with Patrick Mahomes where you have kind of gone past the idea that his production is going to bounce back until they get another game-breaking wide receiver and maybe start to look to trade Patrick Mahomes?
I have Mahomes in two leagues. One's a super flex league. I'm not ready to bench him yet. I know that's been talked about a lot this week. And yes, last year I saw it. You could see that offense wasn't good. I am surprised by this. Even with Hollywood Brown out, I thought with the way Rashee Rice is playing and Xavier Worthy, who they really haven't used enough yet, and maybe they need to manufacture more touches for him. Travis Kelce, obviously not the same player, off to a really slow start. So I am stunned by this, because I thought Mahomes was going to go off this year, and it just has not happened yet. I'm not ready to bench him, though. I know a lot of people are ready to... I can't play Sam Darnold over him yet. Just like, I know how good Darnold has been, but I'm not there yet. Maybe in a couple weeks. Now, this game against the Chargers, the problem with this game is Chargers have so many injuries. Two tackles, Justin Herbert, even if he plays, how good is he going to be? Like, they shouldn't have started him last week. So the problem with this week, I don't know if it's good gauge because they might be in control of this game and they might not need Mahomes to do much. But you have to figure Kelce will get better. I was staying away from Kelce this year because he had 5 touchdowns last year in the regular season. He didn't reach 1,000 yards. People forgot about that because he was so dominant in the postseason. And it feels like he might be salvaging or saving himself for the postseason, which you never want to do. But it's the Kansas City Chiefs. They can do that.
Yeah, it's been a blank space for Travis Kelce this year. What about the running back room? We saw Carson Steele take a majority of those carries. Is he somebody you're willing to start?
If you're in a desperate situation, and if you play in multiple leagues, you probably have at least a team or two that is. I know I do. I would rank him the highest this week of the Chiefs running back. Kareem Hunt likely going to be active. I just don't know how much they're going to use him. What's his football shape? So I'm keeping an eye on it, but they did give him 17 touches. He had 72 yards. He had a couple of opportunities near the goal line. So it looks like he's going to be at least the goal line back. So of the Chiefs running backs for this week, I feel best about Carson Steele.
How do you feel about the New Orleans offense after the explosion against Dallas? They looked like they were really struggling without Taysom Hill and weren't quite as effective. How do you feel about them this week?
I feel better about them. I know last week was awful, but I think the Eagles came up with a really good game plan, and the Saints lost 2 offensive linemen in that game with Eric McCoy out. That hurts. Ruiz left the game as well. So those are 2 big losses, and I felt they stuck with the run way too long. It was not effective. Kamara had 26 carries. I know Rashid Shaheed was the big disappointment. He did have 6 targets. He had a couple of end zone targets, just couldn't corral a couple of those passes. They weren't easy, but he takes one in. You feel better. He still had a 26% target share. So I think the Saints offense will be fine.
Adam Ronis from SiriusXM Fantasy Life joining us on the Killer Bees. Adam, we're all desperate for tight ends right now. As you mentioned earlier, Travis Kelce's been a disaster this season. You haven't got what you wanted out of Sam Laporta. Mark Andrews goosed us last week. But a couple of surprises broke out with Cole Kmet and the guy you mentioned earlier, Dallas Goedert. But it's a curious situation. I'm curious what you would do with those, because both guys are on teams with kind of a crowded wide receiver group where you're not sure how much target share they'll get from week to week. Are you making moves on Cole Kmet and Dallas Goedert, or how are you handling the tight end shortage right now?
Look, Goddard's a must-play this week just because A.J. Brown and Smith are likely out. Now, they have a bye in week 5, so I'm guessing we'll see Brown and Smith in week 6, so you might have a one-week window where you feel great about playing Goddard. Cole Kmet is a concern because it looks like Keenan Allen could be back this week. He was on the practice field yesterday. So if you have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Romo Odunze, and that's why I didn't draft Cole Kmet this year. And here's the other thing. Everyone is panicking about their tight end. They're all going to the waiver wire. And look how it's worked out. After week 1, who was the big pickup? Isaiah Likely. What did he do in week 2? Nothing. Week 3, who was the big pickup? Hunter Henry. People put him in the lineup. What did he do last Thursday night? Nothing. This past week, Cole Kmet, he was the big pickup. What is he going to do this week? I don't know if it's going to be good. So we're all hurting at tight end. Unless you have Brock Bowers, Jake Ferguson, maybe even a Dalton Kincaid, and George Kittle, I don't even know about. Because if Debo is healthy and Ayuk starts to get his conditioning, Kittle's not going to go off every week. So we are all hurting at the position. Everyone's searching for answers. But a lot of times when you pick up that flavor of the week off the waiver wire, that tight end doesn't do well the next week.
How seriously are we taking Roschon Johnson?
So not too seriously, because the Bears' offensive line is a mess. I know everyone's upset with DeAndre Swift, but if you go back and look, especially on that fourth down play, there were like 3 Bears linemen laying on the field and 5 Colts all after DeAndre Swift. And yes, he's been extremely inefficient, under 2 yards per carry. I did pick him up in 2 leagues. One of them I'm just decimated. I lost Kenneth Walker. I have Jerome Ford and Tajay Spears. So in a situation like that, yeah, I'm going to spend some money and take a chance, because they've already talked about how Roschon Johnson will get an opportunity. So I don't know if he's the answer, but if you are desperate at running back, I am picking him up. I actually might start him this week, and I'm expecting to be disappointed.
Adam, before you get out of here, we talked about it earlier, but you've been hot. Tell everybody about the Dub Club.
Yeah, you can check out my Dub Club. You can get a 3-day free trial, or hit me up on Twitter in the DMs, at Adam Ronis. I'll get you a discount if you're listening to the show. I give out picks for NFL, MLB, and the NBA, which is coming up. So that's all included for one price. So hit me up on Twitter, at Adam Ronis.
Appreciate the time. Adam has always been killing it with the Dub Club, so check them out there. Also, you can catch them Fantasy Life on SiriusXM Fantasy, and the Twitter's easy. It's at Adam Ronis. Bad Take Boulevard when we come back. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Yeah, before we go to the break, you just heard Adam. Before that, you heard Lee. If you got some hunches yourself, the best place that I tell you to go put your money down is MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag, always taking care of you, the customer, while you look for a place that's reliable, that's going to take care of you and your money, that's going to be there for you in a variety of ways. That's mybookie.ag. Remember our promo code, BET975. Use it whenever you can for extra added bonuses and incentives. It's awesome. Like right now on a sign-up bonus, you sign up, and depending on what you put in, MyBookie's going to put money on top of it up to $1,000 when you use our promo code, BET975. That money is in there immediately. You can use it right away. And the more money you have in your account, the more games you can bet on, and the more chances you can win. And they also have a great program right now called MyBookie Plus. It's an incentive program based on how much you play. The more you play, the higher you go in tiers, the better opportunities you get with promotions and special deals that they have going on. They are fantastic. They take care of you. And then they take care of you in a variety of ways, including their website, where you can actually watch some of the games while you're talking to like-minded individuals and dealing with all the in-game bets and all the things that you want to be doing with your wagering. On top of that, when you're in there and you're looking for something to do, or maybe you feel like doing some Vegas games, you don't want to fly to Vegas or drive to Louisiana. All you got to do is get on the website. Live dealers are standing by for blackjack, poker, and so much more. They take care of you. You just get the process started by going to them using our promo code. As I always tell you to do, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag, use that promo code, BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
All right. A lot of bad takes. What are the worst takes to belong on this list? 713-780-3776. Fox Sports, MLB, March 27, 2024. They were predicting their divisional champions. Their AL West champion, the Texas Rangers. Mm. And the poster boy that they had for the Texas Rangers was Adolis Garcia. Mm. Who didn't have the best of years.
No. No matter what his diet consisted of.
223 average. 679 OPS. He was under a 100 OPS plus for Adolis Garcia. But Fox Sports, MLB, you make the list. You pick the
you
wrong
just made
AL
the list.
Champion. How can you go against the Astros, who have won every single full season AL West divisional title since 2017?
That was in March, right?
It was in March.
Yeah, so
just
that
ahead
was
of opening day.
I was going to say, that was pre-open. That was, I mean, before the swoon, that's bad.
Which swoon?
I mean, the fact that before the Astros were 12 and 20.
Is this like the potato famine you were talking about yesterday? Oh, God. A proud Ranger fan on Twitter. This was on July 30th. This was the trade deadline when the Astros made the splash. The Astros have acquired left-handed reliever Caleb Ferguson from the New York Yankees, blah, 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 blah. Proud Ranger fan. Proud boy Ranger fan on Twitter. He said, I have to admit, it's going to be sad watching y'all miss the playoffs. Mmm. Proud boy Ranger fan, you make
you
the list.
You just made the list.
Astros will be in the playoffs as the Texas Rangers enjoy Cancun.
I think to his credit, he did own it and congratulate the Astros and own his bad take.
Yeah, he still lands on bad take.
Oh,
Boulevard.
No doubt.
We can admire you saying, my bad, I was wrong, but that's not going to prevent you from landing on bad take Boulevard. Proud boy Ranger fan. Bad take Boulevard. This one's from Evan Grant, who writes for the Dallas Morning News. He said on the Baseball Tonight podcast that he thinks Seattle wins the AL West, then the Rangers finish second, then the Astros finish third. This was ahead of the season, and Evan Grant, you make the list.
You just made the list!
A lot of those people from Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, Metroplex, a lot of them thought the Rangers were going to win the division this year.
That's smart.
Yeah. Guess we'll never know. Sticking in the division, Ron Washington, first-year manager for the Angels. There was a small population of people that kind of wanted Ron Washington in Houston to replace Dusty Baker. Small, very, very few of them. But Ron Washington, before the start of the year, listen to the old man.
Once we get things together and we get these guys together in spring training and start to work, our whole focus is going to be to run the West down. And you can take that to the bank and deposit it.
Take it to the bank. Take it and deposit. Don't just go to the bank. Make sure you deposit it while you're there. Good advice from Ron Washington. The problem? The Angels have lost 96 games, which is a franchise record, and they still have games to play.
That's a big problem. Yeah, he just didn't say. He didn't put a timetable on it. It might take him 6 years if he's around. But
take it to the bank and deposit it. Deposit 96 losses into the bank. Ron Washington.
You just made the list.
The list.
Yeah, not a good look.
Feels a little disrespectful putting Ron Washington on the list. Cam Taylor Britt talking about Jaden Daniels, the Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury. He didn't think too highly of their offense before they played.
Yeah, Capone, they don't make them do a lot. So they keep it really simple for them. Nice college offense. Kingsbury's the OC, so you know, a lot of move guys around here and there. But, you know, just keep it real simple for them. I heard his pass percentage is very high, but he's only throwing short routes, you know, some intermediate stuff, quick throws.
Jaden Daniels, 21 of 23, 250 yards, two touchdowns. The Commanders hung 38 points with their college offense on the Cincinnati Bengals on the road. They had 356 yards, did not punt once.
Yeah, they beat you deep at least twice to Terry McLaurin. They was like, oh, it was all short passes. Well, at least twice they beat you deep with Terry McLaurin, including the touchdown that put the game away.
And his coach hammered him after the game that our players shouldn't be saying those things. And then he doubled down and said it still looked like a college offense, but, you know, tip of the cap to them.
Factually, he might be right. Might be right that they run kind of a college-like offense, but the implication of the way people received it was like, he's talking down to the Commanders, and then they roasted him. So, like, factually, he could be right. Now, that's probably why he doubled down on it. He's like, they are kind of a college offense. The problem is, when you say that, It seems like you're putting down the opponent. And then whenever they hang 38 points on you, you look foolish.
You just made the list.
A college offense gets called out if a pro team can stop it.
Yeah. The Bengals have a college defense, I guess.
They're bad.
ESPN bet on their socials. This is where commas come into play. This isn't even a bad take. I just wanted to talk about it. Devin Singletary intentionally doesn't score a touchdown, so the game goes under the 37.5 point total. They didn't put the comma here. So the way that it reads is that Devin Singletary is point shaving. That he is fixing the game by staying under the 37.5 so all of the under tickets can cash. It wasn't Devin Singletary intentionally doesn't score a touchdown, comma, dot, 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 so the game goes under the 37.5 point total.
Yeah, that's the world we live in now with the gambling aspect of all of this. Everything gets scrutinized, including your social media.
It's also the world we live in with punctuation.
Bad, yeah. Punctuation matters.
Punctuation, if they do use it, they use it poorly.
So whoever wrote this caption that you're kind of accusing Devin Singletary for fixing the game, you made the list.
You just made the list.
And Singletary did this, by the way. Because if he would have just put it on a knee there, like he did, they run out the clock and they win. They don't allow the Browns to get the football back and then score a quick touchdown, onside kick. By stopping shy of the goal line, he guarantees victory at that moment. I'm sure his fantasy owners didn't love the fact that Singletary did that.
No,
though, by
of course
the way.
Not.
Remember, who was the Eagle? Was it Westbrook?
Yeah, Brian Westbrook.
Way back
for the
in
Eagles.
The day.
I think he was playing Seattle. I actually won a fantasy championship because my opponent had Westbrook.
That was
and
like
he lost
the,
it.
But that was like championship
it
week
was.
In fantasy.
Like, again, that was my championship series that I won it because he stopped short. My opponent was playing him.
Stopped short. That's an old savvy
Seinfeld,
move.
Yeah.
That was the biggest
that was the
fantasy
first time I remember
play
it.
In fantasy in like championship history.
Yeah, has to
until
be.
DeMar Hamlin.
Oh, well,
DeMar
that,
Hamlin
that
passed
one,
it up.
That was chaos. Yeah.
That's the yeah, that one.
That was the
it
first
up.
Time I remember players sliding short. And maybe that was because of age and I don't remember, you know, the '80s. But yeah, that was the first time I remember a player sliding short like that to not score so they could keep the clock running.
Bertha Walton. The mother of Harold Perkins quote tweeted a tweet that says LSU star linebacker Harold Perkins expected to miss the rest of the season due to a knee injury he suffered. Bertha Walton, mother of Harold Perkins, HIPAA violation. This is Harold Perkins' mother and family. Didn't give anyone permission to give out information on Harold Perkins. Take it down. No. She meant now. She said no. She got community guidelines by the people at Twitter. Readers added context, which says college athletes and pro athletes are not protected under HIPAA laws. To be fair, Dusty Baker didn't know that. Dusty didn't know that either. Dusty cited HIPAA multiple times.
I've worked with people that didn't know that, and that can be a slippery slope.
That's a good flex there. I like that one. Okay. Like, but Dusty Baker and Harold Perkins' mother, two peas for a pot. All right, last one. Turkey Leg Hut has been shut down. It's no longer with us.
Did you try it before it got shut down?
I didn't. I did. I had
I
some
guess
people,
you're glad now.
I had some people texting me saying, whenever I was talking about it on the air the other day, they were like, hey, you don't really want to try it. I love a good turkey leg. Apparently, Turkey Leg Hut was on the downswing for years. But 35 health code violations, they've been shut down by the Houston Health Department.
Yeah, that's been quite the dicey situation for a while now. When you change locations and your attempted arson and all the different stories going around, not to mention now with that, that's not good.
I can't wait for the 30 for 30 on the Turkey Leg Hut, though. It's going to be phenomenal. All right, that does it for Bad Take Boulevard. Turkey Leg Hut, you make the list. It sounds like you made
you
the list.
You just made the list.
35 times, to be exact. Let's take the temperature on Stephon Diggs using our pain chart. Where are we with Stephon Diggs and his happiness with the Houston Texans? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's take the temperature on Stephon Diggs using our pain tolerance chart that we've been using, like little kids do when they go to their, what do the kid doctors call them?
Pediatricians.
Yeah, so Stephon Diggs going to the pediatricians known as the Killer Bees. Where are we assessing the pain for Stephon Diggs. 0 being no pain, green smiley face. 10 being unimaginable, unspeakable pain that's red and upset and angry with the smile turned upside down.
I'm gonna go 2.5.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2.5, and it's all simply because...
So up from last week.
Yeah, it's up from last week, and I think it's more team-associated than with his usage and play. I think it's, you know, it's all sunshine and rainbows when you're 2-0, and, you know, you love your quarterback, and you love everything about what's going on, and, you know, you see the Viking game, and I think that he probably wanted to have a big game against his former team, and yes, he had some catches and some yards, but overall, because they lost, and because this was one of... two games on the schedule, he probably had an extra circle around because of his time there. I'm sure that he's a little ticked off about that.
You would say he had a big game, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was one guy that you could compliment and say,
I mean, 10 for 94 is a big game.
Yeah.
So we agree that it was a big game. Here was Diggs after the game, too, by the way, just talking about, you know, the game and being back in Minnesota and vibes and all of that.
Just banding together. Obviously, we had a lot of miscues up to that point. And being as an offense, the offense that we want to be, obviously we weren't playing to the standard that we typically want to play at. So just going at the guys, you know, I do a lot of positive reinforcement, you know, positive energy, letting the guys know, you know, be there for your brother and do your job. At the end of the day, we'll be fine. Obviously, things are going to go as planned, but trying to get things on the right track.
What was that at the very end? That was Diggs. Diggs was also asked about, you know, having that conversation with the team. Remember, he had the sideline conversation. He was kind of leading the charge, and Slowick was there, and then Laremy Tunsil came late, which is kind of what he does whenever C.J. Stroud's knocked to the ground. But that was Diggs postgame. I'm actually on the other side of things. I was at a 1 yesterday, very mild pain. I'm going the other way. I think Diggs likes individual numbers more than he likes team wins. I'm going backwards. I'm going no pain. Cool. Stephon Diggs, he got the ball 10 times, 94 yards, targeted 12 times. He's important because he's a leader on the sideline. He's after the game being very chummy to Brian Flores and Justin Jefferson, even after the postgame here. They got hammered by 27, and he sounds like very, very happy. He sounds almost jolly. Stephon Diggs does. So I'm going backwards. I'm going to a 0, no pain. Stephon Diggs targeted 12 times, catch 10 of those targets. He's very, very happy.
You think he sounded jolly in that
sounded
clip?
Sounded jolly.
I'm questioning your ability jolly. To read or to understand tone.
Have you ever seen me be jolly? He was jovial, even.
Okay, you watched the video, right?
Yeah, I did.
You're able to read human emotion?
Did you see him with Brian Flores?
Did
you see him with
Justin?
Did you see him with Brian Flores?
I'm not
absolutely
talking about that.
Looked
I'm
jolly
about the
and
video.
Jovial.
You said he sounded jolly.
I was surprised the emotion that Brian Flores
showed. He was kind of smiling.
He's not a guy that shows a lot of emotion, and he was like massive bro hugging and smiling.
Diggs was actually acting a bit goofy, even after the game. Like, he was doing like these weird mannerisms and gestures.
Jefferson called him something kind of weird or something, but
yeah, he called
it wasn't a dog. It was more like,
yeah, he said something. It was a weird term that has a positive connotation,
right? Yeah. But to say like, you know, almost like you have a legend status or something like that. But yeah, he was very, very chummy with those guys.
Yeah, I thought he was very, very happy after the game.
I'd put the pain scale at a 1, though. I mean, in 1 only because they got blown out. Like you said, he got his work. He got his 10 for 90. And overall, I think what we've seen from Diggs, and maybe this is why he got the C on his chest, but he seems to be a leader of the situation. He's leading the team on the sideline there in the meeting. We've seen, whether it be preseason or regular season games, he seems to be willing to step in and coach and tell guys what to look for. Like when we saw Diggs melt down in Buffalo, he was going one-on-one at his quarterback, pointing fingers and yelling. That's not what we're seeing from Diggs being animated on the sidelines now. It's more about coaching and talking guys up. We heard about how much he likes C.J. Stroud's, quote, pretty balls that he was throwing them from the Bears game. So, yeah, I think the pain tolerance
friendly.
Is...
Friendly.
Friendly
yeah,
ball.
Yeah, friendly balls. He likes C.J. Well, friendly balls.
Pretty. You said pretty balls.
Did I? Okay.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Friendly, pretty,
he's like,
whatever.
Yeah, that's what I said. No, it's not.
Tomato, tomato, whatever. But I think the pain right now is at a 1. I don't think there's much there, other than the fact that they lost, and who likes losing by that much?
Cap says Diggs don't care about wins and losses, just his stats. That's where I'm at. That's why I went all the way to a 0, no pain. Now, maybe there was some pain after hearing what Josh Allen had to say following their Week 3 victory that moved them to 3-0. They're rolling offensively. They look really good. Josh Allen looks really good. Favorite to win the MVP now, I'm sure. He was talking about how he loves these current crew of players.
The everybody eats mentality. And again, it could be your play, this play. You never know when it's going to happen, and that's the beauty of it. When guys get to buy into this and really understand, like, I may not get the ball four or five times thrown to me a game, but the one or two times I do, I'm going to have opportunities to be in the end zone. And, you know, it's a fun and wonderful thing when you got a bunch of guys that don't care about the stats. They don't care about the touchdowns. And, again, I think throughout practice we've just had this mindset of, like, hey, let's just do things the right way and find ways to win football games. That's what we're doing right now.
Is Josh Allen throwing shade to Stephon Diggs, who the Texans will see a week from Sunday?
Oh, I think, yeah, I would say yes. I would say, as much as he then downplayed it and said he wasn't referring to him at all because that's what he's going to tell the media, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I think that he could own it. I think there's definitely a reference made with Diggs in mind.
It's a crime that game is a Sunday noon start, by the way. That it one is. Should have prime time billing. That was a mistake. I think he's more talking to his current team, and he likes the way that they're playing ball, and he likes that there's not, you know, a diva wide receiver. Like, you can make the case, well, if there's not a diva receiver, who is he throwing shade to? I don't think he's throwing Diggs at Diggs, but I can certainly understand why it comes across that way.
I've gotten tired of the leaps it seems like we all take right now. Everything Josh Allen says, if it's about a wide receiver on his current team, has to be an insult or throwing shade at Stephon Diggs. I think obviously a quarterback likes a wide receiver who doesn't complain at him. I get what he's saying there about, you know, doing what's best for the team. But, I mean, he could just be talking about the current group of wide receivers. He likes the attitude of the current group of receivers. It doesn't have to be about Diggs. Not every comment Josh Allen makes is about Diggs. It feels like we're trying to turn every conversation or quote that Josh Allen has to say into something about Stephon Diggs. It's getting tiring.
But we love storylines. We love drama. Like, that's why we do it. Like, these Florios of the world and people that are, you know, the aggregators on Twitter, drama sells. And whenever he says that it's so nice that we have these receivers who don't care about their stats, it's very easy to jump to that conclusion, and it's going to happen every single time. Like, Josh Allen, he you know, backed into the hedges yesterday, tried to back it down. Well, I'm not talking about it. I have love for 14, blah, 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 blah. At the same time, though, when Allen says that, he has to know, even if he doesn't mean it, he has to know that it's going to be perceived that way.
And there also has to be when you know what he's coming out of from a year ago, and we know how much it was publicized, there's absolutely no doubt that there was at least a small amount of a dig at Diggs in the way he positioned it, because he didn't have to position it like that.
I mean, how would you like him to position it? I think he likes being in an offense now, and maybe this is why he was so turnover prone before, where he felt like because they only had the one alpha receiver, it was Stephon Diggs and a bunch of jobbers, to where the first read was always Diggs. The focus of the offense was Diggs, 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 Diggs. And now he probably feels more free that he's able to just scan the field, go to the open man, and not have to force feed the ball to Diggs because he's the only guy there. And that's where the offense is completely directed. Now it's spread out. He's more free. He's playing loose. I think that's what he's talking about.
I do too. But if you're asked the question, I love the way we're playing right now. Done.
Yeah, he could have answered. I will give you that. He could have answered it better.
He didn't answer it in a way that silences that story.
The depth that he went into and the fact that he could have said with a new set of receivers, including some younger guys, you know, things could have gone a variety of different ways and give flowers to each individual guy. But because he went deeper into the way he elaborated, and also because of who he had and what was, you know, what we saw when he was there, I think there was something to it.
4631, this is a nothing burger. 8894, show sucks, guys. Thank you for listening. 8807, everybody eats mentality is easy for quarterbacks to say while they get paid. Receivers get paid by their stats, so I get it. I think that's a fair point. Ocho, I hate when my favorite team plays primetime games. I'm a noon kickoff guy, and I hate waiting all day for Sunday night. I like to watch the majority of games. I like the red zone aspect of it. I like my team playing in a standalone game. That way I can watch the rest of the league because they don't stagger kickoffs like they should.
Yeah, I love the fact that, you know, you can just cover, watch so many games, and if you got the ticket, and you can bounce around and then to the red zone, and you can catch every minute of every game that matters. I love that aspect of it.
0452, smartest take ever from the man behind the glass. So tired of everything being about drama on the show. Feels like a women's talk show sometime. That's chauvinist. That's a chauvinist text. You're saying that women love drama. You're taking a cheap shot at women, 0452.
So we can be the listen instead of the view?
Yeah, there you go. 9221, 100% a shot at Diggs. And then 4631, NFL players aren't naturally gifted talkers. He just talking. You're probably right. But as soon as you say that, it's going to go ahead and put gas on the flames. All right, 713-780-3776. Hayes Carlion, Jags reporter, co-host of the Frangie Show on 1010XL in Jacksonville. Join us as we go behind enemy lines next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.